afternoon, everybody. As she said, my name is Jennifer Beck, and I'm presenting research on my thesis from my Master's in Public Health with Drexel University. I completed it at the Philadelphia Department of Public Health, and I worked with the STD Control Program. It's not what you know, but who you know. The Philadelphia Health Department started a high school screening program for STDs back in 2001, and they're looking at reinfection, which I'll get into and explain a little bit more what that means. Just to give a brief outline of where I'm going to go, I just want to give you a brief scope of the problem of chlamydia and gonorrhea, also known as CT and GC, and then I'll go into the background of the Philadelphia High School STD screening program, also known as FISP, because that's a long word, long phrase to say, and then I'll get into the more details of the research. I wanted to look at reinfection risk in STD for CT and GC. Now, reinfection is students were tested and came up with an initial positive test for either chlamydia or gonorrhea. They were then treated and cleared of their infection, and the STD control program went back 3 to 6 months later after their treatment to test them again, and upon that test, they came up positive again. So that is the definition of reinfection. This is a graph from the Philadelphia Health Department. This is incidence in Philadelphia by age and gender. As you can see, the pink line is females and the blue line is males. Now, adolescents are disproportionately affected. You can see group age 15 to 19 is hugely disproportionately affected. And overall case rates in national data in the U.S. is over 900,000 for chlamydia and over 300,000 for gonorrhea. These are largely underreported because they're often asymptomatic, but they can lead to health problems such as pelvic inflammatory disease, ectopic pregnancy, and infertility in both males and females. Adolescents are at a very high percentage of reinfection risk. Over 35 to 60% of reinfection occurs within the first 4 months. So students that they were testing would get would be infected initially, and about 3 to 4 months later, they would become reinfected. And that's a pretty short time period for STD infections. Also, the rates are extremely high among adolescents in particular, almost 58% in some states and 20% in others that have lower incidence. Researchers have tried to understand why this is among adolescents, and it could be due to anatomical susceptibility, which would be in females, or immaturity of behavior, not being able to negotiate using condoms or other protection. Also, teenagers often participate in risky behavior. Just a little bit of an introduction to the FIFS. They began in 2002-2003 school year, and they would go in and test students for chlamydia and gonorrhea on a voluntary basis. They had an educational session which consisted of a PowerPoint presentation given by the STD control program staff, and they educated them on risk, how you would get infected, how you can be prevented from being infected, how much is all over Philadelphia, so they understand that STD is affecting everyone in the city, it's not just certain populations. And then they were asked to screen with a urine test, so it was much less invasive, and they were able to do the testing right there in the high school. Screening program wasn't initiated until the second full cycle of the school year that they began testing. And this was due to a CDC guideline for active follow-up of infected positive tests within 3 to 6 months of initial treatment. And then this was done by the Disease Intervention Surveillance Specialist Partners. And they would go in and test the students again and if they came up positive, they would interview them and try and locate names and partners so that they could be treating the partners of the students who were getting infected multiple times. This is a quick summary of the first 4 years of testing. As you can see, over 69,000 students were screened, and that represents about 40% of the high school student population, and about a 4.8 positivity rate among those 4 years. Getting into the research, we use Microsoft Access and SAS. This was all secondary data, so I wasn't actually going into the high schools to test them. I was just collecting the data afterwards. And we used univariate and multivariable analysis with a p-value significant of 0.05 or less, and also looking at 95% confidence in this. Looking at eligibility, we started out with an initial sample of 2,217, which those were all the initial positive students. Only 1,269 were eligible for retest, and this was just due to the fact that students who were tested prior to March 1st in the school year were eligible, and students were not after March 1st were not eligible because the school year ended in June and they weren't able to locate the students for the retest. And we came up with 575 total retests, and that was because there were only 624 valid retests, and then 49 did not have interviews, so we had to exclude them. A few of the risk factors that we looked at included gender, grade, dual infection, a lot of the same risk factors that other studies have looked into, but we didn't find most of them to be significant. I'll get into the results in a minute. Our main study variable was the partner's treatment status. Now, this variable is kind of complicated, so bear with me on this table. Now, we looked at initial positive screen. So this was at the very first test, they were positive. And then we looked at their interview and whether they had named partners during this interview and whether these named partners had been located by the STD control staff and whether or not they were able to treat them. So we broke it down into they didn't name any partners, and they named some partners, and they were all treated. They named partners, but only some were treated, and they named partners, and no one was treated. The first three groups we counted as group one because it was a very small sample size, and they had similar patterns of reinfection. So in order to get any statistical significance, we had to group them together versus the last group, which was different from the other ones. That was they named partners, but they didn't have any of those partners treated. Looking at the results, we found, as I said before, over 49,000 students were screened in years 2, 3, and 4. There was about a 4.6 positivity rate initially among those students. Of those reinfected, it was about 13.6 positivity rate, which is much higher than the initial positivity rate. So they're showing that these students have some other kind of risk factor versus those who just have initial positive infection. Looking at this graph, this is showing risk of reinfection. Again, the pink is female and the blue is male. If you look at the highest bar among females, they had the highest risk of being reinfected, which was over 25%. And that was in the group that they named partners, but they did not have them treated. So this is just showing that there was some interaction here among females, because they had a higher risk if they named partners and didn't have them treated, whereas in the male group, it didn't really make much difference. This is just looking at the same data in a table of risk ratio. Again, you can see females that named partners but didn't have them treated had a 2.20 risk, which was significant, and that was the highest risk of the group. And when we were looking at this data, we were trying to figure out why some of the students that had named partners and didn't have any of them treated, why they wouldn't be at a higher risk as well. And when we went back and looked at some of the interview files, we weren't really able to quantify it, but we were able to see that some of them said they had either known that their partner was getting treated and they were in a monogamous relationship at that point, or they said they never wanted to see that person again. So, I mean, we don't really have data to back that up, but I think that I would take someone's word for it if they said that. So, in conclusion, naming sexual partners and having them treated by the Philadelphia Health Department staff is key in reducing reinfection rates, especially among the females who seem to have a higher risk than the males. Males are also at a high risk, even though there wasn't a significant difference in the groups. They're the ones that are most likely infecting the females, so they still need to be targeted despite their lower risk. So after the study, we recommended including additional educational components in their original presentation, talking about reinfection, trying to help the students understand that they can be reinfected multiple times, and even though this is a treatable disease, they really do need to understand what they can do to prevent initial infection and also to prevent getting reinfected if they are infected. Just want to acknowledge all of my partners at the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. And if anyone has more questions on the FISP program, you can contact Melinda Salmon. She is the head of that program there.